Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, today's episode is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners, and I do apologize if my voice is off a little. I'm dealing with a cold, but I don't think the commentary should be too terribly long. So let's just go ahead and sit back so we get started with The Lonely Heart Matter, Parts 1 and 2.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Deller.
Dave Elwood, Johnny, Northwest Surety.
Oh, hiya, Dave. How's the family?
Oh, growing like weeds. You wouldn't even recognize
me. I guess not. It's been a long time.
Say, you free at the moment, Johnny?
Well, there's nothing going on here except the rent. What's on your mind?
I don't know exactly. Maybe smoke, maybe a fire. I got a girl here in the
office. You executives really live.
Well, she's pretty enough to... Say, why don't you come on over here and meet her?
Social, or do I get paid for it?
You get paid.
Uh-huh. Jay Dollar, Gigolo, personal attention to Lonely Hearts, special
rates. Lonely Hearts? Why'd you say that?
Say what?
Lonely Hearts.
I don't know. Why? Is it a code of some kind?
Well, you could call it that, I guess.
What's it mean?
Johnny, if this girl is telling the truth, it means murder.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Home Office, Northwest Surety Company, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Lonely Hearts matter. Item 1, $1.60, taxi fare from my apartment to the Northwest Surety Building in the office of Dave Elwood, Executive Claims Adjuster. A hard-working little man with thinning hair who, even after 20 years in the game, still couldn't help making every claim a personal matter. He met me in the outer office and led me off to one side.
She's waiting inside there, Johnny. I wanted to brief you before you met her.
Who is she, Dave?
Her name is Norma Wells. She's from Chicago. She flew in from there this morning. Hasn't had any sleep. She's pretty upset.
Mm-hmm. What about
her? Her father died 3 days ago. Suddenly, unexpectedly.
What did he die of?
Acute enteritis, supposedly. Well, the death certificate hasn't been signed yet.
Is that what you meant by murder?
And his daughter thinks so.
Mm-hmm. Was he insured with you?
$50,000, term life, written 5 months ago.
Who's the beneficiary? This daughter?
No, his wife. His second wife, that is. The girl's mother died years ago. Wells remarried a month before the policy was issued. A woman named Mabel Burke. The insurance is payable to her.
And the Wells girl thinks she killed him?
That's what she says. She's pretty mixed up.
Why did she come here?
And I'm not quite sure, Johnny. Suppose you ask her.
Okay, let's go.
This way.
What about that Lonely Hearts crack you made on the phone?
Well, that's how he met this new wife, this Mabel Burke, through a Lonely Hearts club. Like they say, marriage is a lottery.
In this case, it sounds more like Russian roulette.
Yeah. In here. Miss Wells, this is Johnny Dollar. He's a specialist, an expert in this kind of thing. I'm sure he'll be able to help you.
How do you do, Mr. Dollar?
Miss Wells?
Now, I'm going to leave you two alone. I have a couple of things I got to take care of. You just punch the intercom if you want me.
Right, Dave. Thanks. Would you care for a cigarette, Miss Wells?
No, thank you. Yes, I will, too. Oh, please forgive me. I just can't seem to think straight.
Oh, that's perfectly understandable. Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you, Mr. Dollar.
Sure. Forgive me for being so blunt, but when was the last time you had something to eat?
Why, yesterday morning, I guess.
Uh-huh. Dave,
Yes, Johnny?
Suppose you could send out for a glass of orange juice, a hot roll, a pot of coffee?
Oh, sure. I'll have one of the girls go get it.
Good, thanks.
No, no, please. I really couldn't.
You're really going to, though. You're shaking so hard you can hardly hold on to that cigarette.
I know. It's so stupid of me.
You and your father were pretty close, I imagine.
Yes. Until he married her.
What kind of a woman is she?
Well, she's strange. It's hard to explain. She's sort of vague. Fuzzy around the edges, if that makes any sense. It's like she isn't even there sometimes, but away off somewhere in time or space.
A little batty, is that what you're implying?
No, no, not really. She could be as sharp as a tack when she wanted to. But something about her... Well, I was scared of her, Mr. Dollar. And I don't actually know why.
I see.
My father and I could never be alone. Somehow she always managed to be there, separating us, driving us apart.
Did she ever say anything that would lead you to believe that?
She didn't have to. Just being there was enough to... All right. I know what you're thinking. Father fixation, second wife, jealous daughter, neurotic imagination.
It's a possibility, isn't it?
No. Don't you suppose I thought of that? Made allowances for it? Do you think I'm a fool?
I don't know what to think, Miss Wells. You told Dave Elwood you believed your stepmother had murdered your father. And so far, the only reason you've given is the fact that she was around all the time. Maybe he wanted her around. Maybe that's why he married her.
Of course he wanted her around. That's not what made me suspicious.
Then what did? The fact that he took out life insurance, named her as beneficiary?
Not at the time. I wasn't suspicious at all, Mr. Dollar. Not until the night he died. Oh, I was hurt, yes, and I felt out of place, so... Well, I moved out of the house 3 months ago and took an apartment off the loop. But I didn't have the slightest idea she might be planning to kill him.
Did he carry any insurance before they were married? Some protection for you in case of...
No, he didn't feel it was necessary. He'd set up a trust fund, and there's some bonds and so on that I suppose will come to me.
I see.
No, the policy was entirely her idea. Thinking back, it seems to me she started talking about insurance the first week after they were married. And he finally gave in. If he hadn't, I think he'd still be alive.
Mm-hmm. Just what were the circumstances of his death?
I don't know. I wasn't there. She saw to that.
What do you mean?
Well, he was taken ill suddenly, in the middle of the night. He wanted her to call me, but she wouldn't do it.
Why not?
She claimed she didn't think it was anything serious. So there was no need of it. Instead, she called the doctor. Her doctor. A few minutes after he arrived... My father died. Then they called me, after it was all over.
This doctor, is he the one who has refused so far to sign a death certificate?
Oh, he was going to sign it all right, until I got there and kicked up a scene. An obvious case of acute enteritis, he called it. Then he backed down, decided maybe he should have another opinion. I went to Father's doctor, but he said there was nothing he could do. Because he hadn't been called in at the time. He's the one who suggested I come here.
Why so?
He said the insurance company would help me. Since they were involved, too, they'd advise me what to do.
Well, what did he think about that diagnosis, acute enteritis?
He said it was possible, but extremely doubtful. He knew Father's physical condition. He treated him for years.
Mm. How long had your father known this Mabel Burke before they were married?
Less than a month. He'd answered a Lonely Hearts ad in the paper. So I found out later by accident.
I see.
They both seemed embarrassed by the way they'd met.
Was it a private ad or an organization?
A club of some sort. The Rendezvous Club. They have an office on Atlantic Avenue. Mr. Dollar, it's not just imagination. Father's own doctor feels there's something wrong, too. That's why he sent me here. I'm not crazy.
Easy now, easy.
She killed him for his insurance. I know she did.
Maybe. But there's not much to go on. Not at the moment, anyway.
Think it's about time for a coffee break?
Yeah, I imagine it's a little past time for Miss Wells.
I couldn't. Really,
yes, you could. Yes, you could. Go ahead now. Dig in. I'll be back in a few minutes. Have a word with you, Dave?
Right, Johnny. Well, what do you think?
I think it needs some looking into. How soon can you get Miss Wells and me on a plane for Chicago?
Hour and a half. I've already checked.
Good. I'll have her get a court order for an autopsy in case the coroner hasn't already asked for one, and we'll take it from there.
Then you think the girl is telling the truth?
I wouldn't bet on it. Expense account item 2, $96.40. Transportation from Hartford and taxi, tips and incidentals in Chicago. I dropped Norma Wells at her apartment, checked in at a hotel, and phoned the coroner's office. I learned that an autopsy request had been filed, but was being delayed pending a court order. I informed them that the daughter was available and willing now to cooperate with them. I left my name and asked the office to keep in touch with me. Item 3, $2.10. Taxi to the offices of the Rendezvous Club. Introductions arranged, mail forwarded, lonely hearts mended, and possibly murders planned.
Well, hello.
I must be in the wrong place.
What do you mean?
I mean, I can't see you as the lonely type.
Oh, I'm not. I mean, I'm not a client. I work here.
Really? For some reason, I'd always had the idea that these clubs were run by sweet old ladies of 75 or so.
Oh, well, I don't exactly run it. Or at least I don't own it, if that's what you mean. Hey, you're not a client, for gosh sake.
Any rules against it?
Well, no.
Well, how do I go about it? I mean, becoming a client.
Well, you either write in or come in like you are now. Then you fill out a form, tell all about yourself, and attach a photograph. Mm-hmm. And look, Buster, there's no use trying to kid you.
Huh?
We don't have a woman in our files under 45 years old.
Well, maybe I got a mother complex.
What?
So I fill out a form. What do you do with it then?
Well, keep it on file. Then we send out bulletins to the active members and forward letters back and forth. Or you can come in here and be introduced. And look, are you serious?
Don't I act serious?
Well, I don't get it. A young guy with your looks and... I bet you're selling something.
No. As a matter of fact, I just got in town and I'm trying to locate a certain fellow. I was told he's a member of your club.
Oh, well, why didn't you say so? What's his name?
Jonathan Wells.
He probably got his address. Jonathan Wells?
Yeah. Have you got a file on him?
Who are you? You're with the police.
Police? Now, what gives you that idea?
Well, I don't know anything about the man you're looking for.
No? Well, suppose we check through the file.
It's not here. We don't keep the files here.
Where do you keep them?
They're not here.
Well, maybe they're in the next office. Through that door there.
No, you can't go in there.
Relax now. Take it easy.
You have no right in there. I won't let you. You stop it.
Now, you just stand right up there on that desk and stay out of trouble.
Let me down. Who do you think you are, anyhow? Get out of here. You go get a warrant if you want to.
Who was in here?
Nobody.
Do you smoke cigars?
Of course I don't smoke cigars.
Yeah, right there in the ashtray, still burning. Somebody just sneaked out through that door in the hall. Who was he? What's your name?
Tetler. Fanny Tetler.
How long have you worked here?
A year. Hey, I've got a hunch you're not a policeman.
I didn't say I was. What about Wells? Have you got a file on him?
No.
What happened to it?
I don't know what you're talking
about. How about Mabel Burke?
Mabel Burke.
Have you got a file on her?
Of course not.
What do you mean, of course not? She and Wells met through this club.
Look, Buster, Mabel Burke owns this club.
Johnny Dollar.
Max Lancer, Mr. Dollar, DA's office.
Oh?
The coroner tells me you're cutting yourself in on this Jonathan Wells thing.
I'm representing the insurance company. Wells carried a $50,000 policy payable to his widow.
Yeah, so I hear.
What about the autopsy? Any results?
Not yet. The coroner's still working on it. I understand it was Wells' daughter who called you fellas in on this case.
Yes, on the advice of her family doctor.
I know, I talked to him. Only his version puts a different slant on things.
What do you mean?
Well, he thought she was suffering from temporary hysteria. He was only trying to calm her. He didn't think she'd really fly back to Hartford and stir up a mess like this.
I see.
Her father's sudden death must have been quite a shock to her. It may have caused her to imagine things.
Things like murder?
Maybe. It's possible, anyway. What do you think?
I think I'll wait for the results of that autopsy, Mr. Lancer. I'll keep in touch.
Thank you.
From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Home Office, Northwestern Surety Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, The Lonely Hearts Matter. Location, Chicago, Illinois. Expense account continued. Item 6, $2.10 for a late lunch at my hotel. I finished it, went up to my room, and started trying to fit the few facts I had into some kind of a pattern that made sense. Max Lancer at the DA's office might be right. Maybe it was nothing more than just hysterical suspicion. And she'd admitted herself that she was hurt and jealous when he married Mabel Burke. Sudden death could still be natural death. And yet, all I could do at the moment was wait for the results of that autopsy. Yeah?
Mr. Dollar?
Who is it?
It's me, Norma Wells.
Oh, all right. Just a minute. Come in. Come in, Miss Wells.
Thank you.
What's wrong?
I'm scared.
Of what?
I don't know exactly.
Oh? Well, here. Here. Come on over here and sit down.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Now, what do you mean you don't know exactly?
Could I be losing my mind, Mr. Dollar?
If you were, you'd be the last one to think so. Now tell me what's happened.
Well, I went to the coroner's office to sign the authorization for the autopsy, and then went back to my apartment. And a little while later, the phone rang, and when I answered it, there was nobody on the line.
A wrong number, maybe.
No. I mean, there was somebody on the line, but they didn't say anything. I kept saying hello, and then there was a click, and the line went dead.
And that's all that happened?
No. A short time afterward, I heard footsteps out in the hall. They stopped at my door, and I kept waiting for someone to ring the bell. When they didn't, I finally got up enough courage to open the door. There was nobody there.
I see.
A few minutes after that, the phone rang again. The same thing as before. I couldn't stay there any longer. I ran out and got a taxi and came here.
Well, who do you think might be doing a thing like that, Miss Wells?
I don't know. But somebody is. I'm not just imagining things.
Max Lancer, the DA's investigator, seems to think you might be.
I know. He talked to me at the coroner's office. That's why I came to you, Mr. Dollar. You've got to help me, please.
Be glad to, but how?
Well, there must be something you can do.
Yeah, yeah. I can wait for that autopsy report. And at the moment, that's about all I can do. Without some definite evidence of a crime, something stronger than mere suspicion, we don't have a leg to stand on.
But suppose the report doesn't show anything?
Well, then I wipe the egg off my face and go back to Hartford.
But look, maybe she was clever enough to kill my father in some way that wouldn't show up in an autopsy.
Such as?
I don't know. But I do know, as sure as I'm sitting here, that she married him and got him to take out that insurance policy with the full intention of murdering him.
Well, such things have been known, all right. Somebody using a correspondence club to contact wealthy pigeons. Did you know that your stepmother owns that Lonely Hearts Club?
Owns it?
That's what the girl in charge told me. A Fanny Tetler. Do you know her?
No. I've never heard of her. And neither Mabel nor my father ever mentioned that she owned the place.
She apparently has somebody running it for her. A man, I think. Any idea who he might be?
No.
He slipped out before I got a chance to see him. Smoked cigars. He left one burning in the ashtray.
Wait. Maybe it's Burton.
Burton?
Burton Creeley, her nephew. He smokes cigars.
Well, that's the first I've heard of him.
Oh, he's detestable. He moved in on us right after Mabel and my father were married. He's the main reason why I left the house. I couldn't stand him. He was always after me, bothering me.
Is he still living there?
I guess so.
Was he in the house the night your father died?
Yes. At least he was when I got there. That was an hour afterward, as I told you.
Does he have a job, work anywhere?
I don't think he's ever worked. He lives off of her.
Uh-huh. He and your father get along all right?
Oh, my father could get along with anyone. He always managed to see the best in people. And then Burton was careful to act different around him.
I see.
I suppose you think that's some more of my imagination.
Well, frankly, Miss Wells, I don't know what to think.
If there was only some way to prove what I'm sure of.
Well, let's wait for that autopsy report. Meantime, I think I'll go out and talk to your stepmother.
What about me?
Stay right where you are. Don't go out of this room. When I get back, we'll pick up some things from your apartment and you can check in here at this hotel for a few days. Expense account item 7, taxi to Lakeshore Drive and the beachfront residence of the late Jonathan Wells. I was beginning to feel more and more like a fool. It looked as though Max Lancer might be right. Apparently, a jealous, hysterical girl had lost her head and stirred up a nasty mess, all without one single fact to back up her suspicions. I had a hunch the autopsy report was going to show death from natural causes. For 2 cents, I'd have thrown the case over. In fact, I didn't even see where I had a case.
Good afternoon, young man. How are you?
How do you do? Are you Mrs. Wells?
Yes, that's right. Is there something I can do for you?
My name is Dollar, Johnny Dollar. I'm representing the company that holds the insurance policy on your late husband's life.
Oh, well, you must be mistaken. Mr. Morningby represents that company, young man. Mr. Matthew R. Morningby.
Mr. Morningby is the local agent. I'm from the home office in Hartford, Connecticut.
Oh, I see.
Yes, I have my credentials right here if you'd like to see.
Oh, no, 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 that isn't necessary. I always judge people by their faces. And you have an honest face, Mr. Dollar.
Thank you. I wonder if I could ask you a few questions, Mrs. Wells.
Well, I suppose so.
I know this must be painful for you, and I'll try to be as brief as possible.
Oh, well, now don't you worry about me. I'm all right. Of course, I miss Jonathan and all that. He was a terribly nice man, terribly. But I think of death as just being a doorway to a greater and more glorious life.
Well, that's one way of looking at it.
You just come right in, young man, and ask all the questions you're a mind to.
Thank you.
You come right in here, and we'll sit down and have a nice chat.
Oh, this is a very attractive house, Mrs. Wells.
Oh, yes, yes, I think so, too. Jonathan built it years ago. He and his first wife lived here, you know. Of course, I've changed the drapes and things. Just some of the little things. Sit right down there now.
Thank you.
And his daughter, too. She lived here the first month we were married. Then she moved into town. Oh, strange little thing, really. Sort of nervous and irritable.
I've met her, Mrs. Wells.
Oh, well, then you know what she's like. Oh, it's too bad, too. Would you like some tea and cookies, Mr. Dollar?
No, thanks.
That's one thing Jonathan wouldn't miss for the world. His tea and cookies at 4 o'clock every afternoon. Every afternoon.
Oh?
The house just doesn't seem the same without him.
No, I imagine it doesn't.
That's how I won his heart, you know. With my cookies and cake.
Oh?
Oh, he really did adore them. And it was such a pleasure baking things for a person who appreciated them so much.
Yes.
It makes you feel lonesome and lost not having anybody to cook for. Do you ever feel lonesome, Mr. Dollar?
Well, I guess everybody does at times.
Why, at the time I met Jonathan, I was feeling so lonesome I could just cry. Mr. Burke had died 2 years before.
Mr. Burke?
Yes, he was my husband before Jonathan. That was in St. Louis, of course.
I see.
Oh, he was a fine man, too. Walter Mabley Burke. Tall and handsome and impressive looking. Just like his name sounds. And a perfect picture of health, right up to the day he died.
His death was sudden, unexpected?
Oh, yes. A complete surprise. Acute indigestion, the doctor called it.
Mm.
Of course, I don't think he was quite as thoughtful as Jonathan. Jonathan was always so considerate. And he was a... Oh, my gracious, here I go, just rambling on and on. You didn't come here to listen to my silly little affairs.
No, 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 they're very interesting.
Well, I've always tried to keep busy and keep my mind occupied. That's why I started in business.
The Lonely Hearts Club.
Oh, well, you've heard about it. Well, I admit I felt kind of foolish at first about starting it. I mean, you know how people josh about those kinds of clubs. It was Burton's idea, really. He's my nephew, you know. Oh, dear, I wish he were here this afternoon so you could meet him.
So do I.
He's such a nice boy. He thought I'd do real well at that kind of business, and he was right, too, absolutely right. Oh, not money, you understand, but it was loads of fun meeting all those nice people, especially men, yes.
I see.
That's how I met Jonathan.
So I was told.
That's the way it happened. He wrote into the club, and I sent him my picture, and that's what started it. I remember when Burton showed me the letter, he said, Aunt Mabel, this one sounds like your kind of man, and he certainly was, too.
Uh-huh. Does Burton help you with the club?
Oh, well, he runs it, really. He's such a sweet boy, and he works so hard. I just don't know what I'd do without Burton. I don't know what I'd do.
Yes, I imagine he's a great comfort to
you. Oh, you have no idea, Mr. Darling.
I suppose not. Well, I guess I'd better run along, Mrs. Wells.
It's been such a pleasure talking with you. It seems like young folks nowadays don't often have the gift for conversation the way they did in my time.
Well, things move faster today.
Well, I certainly hope that company of yours moves fast, young man.
Well,
I have to start house hunting, you know. The estate and everything goes to Jonathan's daughter, and all I have is the insurance.
Yes.
Oh, it's such a bother, Mr. Dollar. The funeral and moving and the details. Seems like I just have the worst luck with my husband's.
I walked out of there groggy.
my head spinning. No wonder Norma Wells was nervous and hysterical. I felt that way myself after only a few minutes of it. And I still had no case, not one piece of evidence. I'd had a pleasant chat with a sweet old lady, a little on the dotty side maybe, but that was all. Dead end. Max Lancer from the DA's office was waiting for me in the hotel lobby.
You'll notice I'm holding my hat in my hand, Mr. Dollar.
How come?
It's a symbol of humility. You were right all along. According to the coroner's report, Jonathan Wells died from a dose of ground glass. So it's murder after all.
Then in that case, do something for me, will you?
From now on, I'm your man.
Contact the authorities in St. Louis and have them check into a death that happened there about 2.5 years ago. A man named Walter Maberly Burke.
Who's he?
Mrs. Wells was married to him at the time.
Uh-oh. Another murder?
No, just a matter of bad luck. She told me so herself.
Now here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, a strange attack, a scared girl, a hunt in the dark, and 13 knots make a noose. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Les Crutchfield, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, as we were reminded a few weeks ago, just because you're a kindly seeming old lady doesn't mean you can't also be a murderous criminal. We will see how this plays out. I do need to make a programming note here, and this is probably one of the more difficult serials in the series, because we're missing part 4. So on Friday we'll play part 3 and part 5. On Wednesday we'll play a show named Gunsmoke, though it has very little relation to the Western that you can listen to over at otrwesterns.com. So plan on that on Wednesday. It's a bit of a surprise, so I won't say anything more. Comment here from David, who says, really enjoy Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Adding to my enjoyment is that he's based in Hartford. Last episode I listened to took place in my hometown of Waterbury, Connecticut. Well, thanks so much, David, and I think that is one of the appeals of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, is that it is not confined to a single location. It's set throughout the country. And in fact, I think he got into most states. I don't believe there was a Johnny Dollar episode set in Idaho, but he covered a lot of ground, and Connecticut was one of the more frequent stops. And I appreciate the acknowledgement by the show's producer that Connecticut really is the go-to place for insurance, and that I think is still true today. All right, and one more listener comment before we go. Rebecca says, my favorite great detectives of old time radio, regarding Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. All right, well, that will do it for now. Join us tomorrow for Mr. Malone, then on Wednesday for Gunsmoke, and on Friday we will wrap up Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook. We have more than 2,500, and we'd love for you to join us. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.